GW Micro have released a public beta of their screen reader, WindowEyes. This is version 4.21. It's largely a bug fix and maintenance release. To tell us about that and also what's in store for the future at GW Micro, we're joined by Doug Joffrey. Doug, it's good to have you back on the program. It's been a while since we've caught up with GW Micro, so let's have a little chat about 4.21 and the philosophy behind it.
Sure. Well, thank you again, Jonathan, for getting us on board here. The 4.21, we just released the public beta in November, and so far it's been going actually very good. The 4.2, as you know, came out in March time, so we've been between March and November. We've been working very hard just fixing a lot of the issues that people have expressed to us, a lot of the potential problems that are out there and that type of thing that we've seen that that have been reported to us. So we just decided to step back and make our product as stable as possible before we start going and putting all these wonderful features in, which, by the way, we are working on, but we also need to make sure that our base is as stable as possible. So the 4.21 release, for the most part, is just fixing issues, again, that have been reported to us or that we have found. And then with that strong, stable base, then we can start introducing a lot of these fancy new things that we are working on as well. But not the 4.21 is not just all fixing problems and things that have been reported to us. There are a few enhancements to it as well. Not a lot, which is why it's free. But there are, if you look at the README file that comes with the public beta, there are a lot of issues and things that we have addressed in this. So the list is quite extensive, even though the majority of them are just fixing problems and things that are out there.
Yeah, because WindowEyes has tried to base its reputation on this whole rock-solid thing. I think it's fair to say that with the amount that was involved in the migration to the 32-bit exclusive platforms like XP in 2000, there are some real programming challenges there, I take it.
There was a tremendous amount, and with each new operating system that comes out, there's always that hurdle of trying to get it going and trying to get it going as fast as possible, and I think we were, each new operating system that comes out, we're getting better and better at releasing a product to the release date of the operating system so that a blind person isn't left behind, and we're getting much better with that. And we did an excellent job with 4.2, although had I had, you know, anything I wanted, I probably still would have put the release off of 4.2 a little bit longer, but it's a balancing act, and we had to put out what we had because there were so many people that needed to get the product and get using Windows XP. And it was very it's a very good product. It's just we knew that there were some issues. We found some issues after it went out, and that's what we dealt with the 4.21 release. It's just trying to, again, clean all that up, get a big, strong, stable base that we're known for, and then go on and start putting in all the whistles and bells.
So is there anything in particular that you think is worth noting in terms of new additions or things that were particularly vexatious that have been addressed?
Well, certainly the biggest new addition that's been added is the DCM support, or the it's been called many things, driver chain manager, display chain manager, however you want to address it. But what this is designed to do is it's the technology that we got together with Microsoft along with Dolphin Systems, AI Squared, and Freedom Scientific. So the five companies got together, and we came up with some mechanism of being able to handle the way that our applications have to interface into the operating system, and basically that's we have to put in our own video driver along with your real video driver. And when you start getting all these applications doing that, Microsoft did not put in a standard way of handling that. So now you get all these applications fighting, or if you install this, you break that, or break them both, or break your whole system, or whatever. And it was just a nightmare to have multiple assistive technology products on the same machine. So this technology that we all came up with, and Microsoft actually hired GW Micro to write the code to do this, which we did, and we have then since implemented it within WindowEyes. So WindowEyes now has this DCM support, which means now when the other applications come out with their DCM-compatible application, you no longer have to worry about installing and uninstalling issues. Today you have to make sure you install screen enlargers before screen readers. You have to make sure if you uninstall an application that you uninstall it in the reverse order that you installed it. And even if you do all of that, things still may not cooperate together and all of that business. So the DCM is designed to get rid of all of those headaches. And again, as all the other applications come out with their DCM version, then things will just work flawlessly. But it is important to note that all of your applications have to be DCM compatible, that at least install a display driver, which is typically a screen reader, a screen magnifier. A lot of people ask us, do OCR packages have this? No. Again, in the AT community, it's really just screen readers and screen enlargers that you have to deal with. with these video drivers that have to be installed and things like that, to where DCM will really take effect.
What is it that took place with the 2000 and XP platforms that caused this problem? I mean, why couldn't Microsoft handle things in the same way that they did under 9X, where we didn't have these problems?
Well, under 90, at least under the 9X platform, we, with Windowize, decided to go a different approach. We didn't have to use a display driver, and so we didn't clash with a lot of applications. If you had an application, multiple applications that did all that, they would still fight. And you still had some issues under 9X. It just wasn't as bad, especially when it came to Windowize, because we did it a different way. And so we didn't collide with those other applications out there. So we didn't have near the problems that we did there. But even under 9X, Microsoft didn't address it. Again, was just we had a different alternative. Well, when we go to the Windows 2000 platform and the XP platform, we don't have a choice anymore. We have to use this video display driver technique to be able to get to the information going to the screen. And unfortunately, Microsoft didn't put any foresight into that. So even programs like PC Anywhere or a lot of these remote control applications, they also put in the video driver to be able to, again, take the information going to the screen and pipe it off somewhere else. And so they also are fighting with us within themselves and that type of thing. So this technology, although it was designed in the AT community, has been kind of taken over by Microsoft and will then be promoted to these other companies, and hopefully they will take on as well. So if you do install some of these other applications, like remote control applications or whatever, they'll just work. And we've done some within the specifications of DCM, at least in our first release, we've already specced in to handle a lot of the remote control apps. I guess we picked the top four, PC Anywhere being one of them. So even though they don't support it today, we put in some technology to at least work around how they are doing it so that we don't have the issues that you had pre-DCM.
One of the things that really impresses me is the amount of cooperation that apparently has gone on between screen reader developers, and that there have in fact been mechanisms put in place so that GW Micro and Freedom and Dolphin Access can all talk to one another and try and iron out any incompatibility issues for when DCM is fully implemented by everybody.
Exactly. I mean, we just saw that the whole thing was falling apart for people that had multiple AT products on their system. And so we all agreed that we've got to get together, put all of our differences aside, at least for this issue, and come up with a solution. And it helped to have Microsoft kind of be the mediator in all of this to help pull us together and help come up with this. It took a lot longer than I wish it would have to come up with a standard, because trying to get five companies to work together who are all on their own schedules, who all have limited budgets, who all have limited resources, to try to come together and come up with this. So it took a long time, but in the end, I think it will pay off, and DCM hopefully will just get better as time goes on.
Very good. Anything else of note you wanted to comment on 4.21?
I mean, we certainly talked about it was mainly just to resolve a lot of issues.
Right.
Help the basic stability of it. So we feel that the 4.21 version is far superior as far as stability-wise than the 4.2 version. We still feel that it's one of the strongest or most stable screen readers that are out there. So that's the biggest thing that we've, of course, put into it.
Mm.
We also offer real support for the real one player.
Yeah, and you helped develop that, I take it, with real networks in the end.
That's right. They kind of start going with all this fancy user interface that's all visual, and they were breaking all the rules and not aware that they were no longer accessible. So they contacted us, and through using MSAA, they've actually implemented some of the Microsoft Active Accessibility within their dialogues and controls and such, so that now it's being exposed through the normal MSA mechanisms, and we can now read that information and work with them. So we're seeing a lot of companies. Again, it started with, well, it didn't start with, but the previous one to Real was the Macromedia. The Flash people came to us with the MSAA support within Flash, and pre that it was Adobe with their PDF and things like that. So we're seeing a lot of companies are coming to us and saying, hey, how do we make this accessible? We need to make it accessible, which is great.
Macromedia is churning out a whole stream of accessible products just now.
Right. They're on a roll, so
yeah.
We need to keep them going.
Why is it, though, that Real Network selected in the end, or I don't know whether this was your suggestion or what, but it seems to me that it always seems to work more reliably if we can get companies to use standard Windows controls, good old-fashioned list views and combo boxes and edit controls, instead of having to sort of retrofit the screen reader for active accessibility.
well, if everybody used the standard list boxes and the standard edit boxes, then they'd all look alike, and how do they get the, you know, consumers to purchase their product over the other product? So they all got to push the envelope. They all got to go out and make themselves unique and different. And in doing such, of course, they're breaking everything as far as accessibility is concerned, which is frustrating. But that's the main reason. Even within Microsoft, they're always pushing the edge. They're always going a step further than everybody else, trying to make themselves look different, act different, and just set themselves apart. So it's very frustrating. But in a sense, I kind of see why they're doing that, because, again, everybody would be the same if they didn't.
So in terms of media player software, Real One seems to work pretty well now, but Windows Media Player 9 seems to have one or two issues. Are you working on that?
We are working with them, and we certainly let Microsoft know that those are issues that we need to deal with. So we do have communication going back and forth. I'm not exactly sure where it's at right now, but I'm hoping that they will clean that up before they really go out with it.
We've also heard little platitudes from Nullsoft, the people who make Winamp, and of course they're a division of AOL. Winamp version 3 is almost totally unusable by a screen reader user. Have you had any dialogue with them?
Not directly with them. We have a lot of dialogue with AOL, so I'm hoping that this will carry over to that and that we can get something going with that. But as of today, to my knowledge, we don't have any communication regarding Winamp specific.
No, and they keep making noises to end users that say this is our top priority to get this issue addressed, but I'm not aware of anything tangible that's going on to actually address it.
Yes, not, at least to my knowledge, I'm not aware of it either. Yeah. So I hope that they are doing something. I mean, they might have contacted us. We might have talked to them and gave them some suggestions without, you know, me specifically knowing that that happened, but we don't have any formal communication going.
Okay. Now, it seems to me to be a fairly long time since there was a really major addition to the feature set of WindowEyes because of all the work you had to do to get the ports done to the 2K platforms, XP platforms, etc. So that's presumably what you're working on now.
Right. And Port 2 did have a lot of new features as well. I mean, it wasn't just a migration up to the professional version, but... And again, we've added a few things here, but you're right, no big, major, boom-banging type features for a little while. We have been working on a lot of those big features. They're going on in tandem with all these other things that we're doing. And we're basically looking at the next two versions past the 4.2.1 release. We've got them spec'd on when we want them to come out. We've got them spec'd on specifically what the feature set is that we want to be in them. And they're quite impressive. So we're kind of looking in the short term for this next release to do some very basic functionality, and I know you want me to get specific with what that is, and I'm a little reluctant to talk about it at this point. But I can tell you that some of it has to do with the web-based environment. We've got some really nice things planned on that for our next release after the 4.2.1. And then we've got some Adobe-type things that we'd like to clean up and issues that people have been having with PDF files. We'd like to maybe clean up some of that. I'm trying to be as vague as possible, but yet still get you information here.
And I appreciate it.
And then even beyond that, then for our next major release, we've got some what we would like to consider kind of the next generation of screen readers, of where that's going. And so we've got some really, really cool technology that we think will just kind of surpass everything that's available right now on that next major release. And so I don't want to get specific about what that is, but we're all extremely excited about it. We just don't want to put it out before it's ready, and that is spec'd for further down next year.
No, well, clearly, from what you're describing, it sounds like that could even be commercially sensitive to talk about that now.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So we have to be a little bit careful with what we're doing, but I just want people to know that we are always looking forward. We're always working on new features and things like that, but we just feel right now that we've got to work on the stability before... or everything is just going to collapse within us. And I think we're kind of seeing that with some of our competitors out there, where they put out a lot of features and their marketing department has a great time with it, but then all of a sudden things start crumbling in and they've got to then jump back, fix those issues, come out with fixes for all of that so that they can then kind of do what they said they were doing a while back. And we don't want to get into that, though. We want to make sure that everything that comes out is stable and just works as advertised the first time through without five patches to make it do what we said it would do originally.
All right. Do you have a kind of a cycle in mind, like that we can expect a WindowEyes release, say, in March and another in November? Is that the kind of cycle you're working on?
Well, it's difficult. Originally, we wanted to have a couple good releases a year, but it's very difficult to have two big releases a year because it just takes a long time to ramp up, get everything going, put out the beta test phase. Assuming how the beta test goes, you may or may not have to put out another public beta, and it's very difficult to get two of those out a year, big ones. So our plan is to maybe have some smaller ones and then have a bigger one, maybe once a year or something like that, have a Big Bang upgrade once a year and then maybe a smaller one or something between that. But I think you'll find that there will be a release after the 4.2.1 relatively shortly, and then towards the end of next year or so you'll see our next major release come out.
So that could be a WindowWise version 5 next year, say November, December of next year.
Yeah, we're not sure what we're going to call it or, again, the specific dates, but something like that, yeah.
Yeah, all right. And there have been some changes to the GW Micro website in the last little while that are quite helpful to end users who want information.
Absolutely. Aaron, who is our web developer, is constantly working on that web page and constantly trying to make it as user-friendly and have as much information up there. And a lot of times those fight each other. You can't have a lot of information and still be friendly. But he's walking that balance, and he's doing everything he can to keep that going and keep useful information up there all the time.
I find it interesting that GW Micro is really embracing the way that WindowWise can work with fairly complex formatted web pages with frames and everything, and you yourselves use frames, and yet, you know, when you get a lot of advice that is given to people on web accessibility, they say steer away from frames and steer away from tables. Do you find a bit of a conflict there that in fact the W3C guidelines are a little bit archaic in some areas now?
Well, I mean, that's the frustrating thing, is that W3C had a very difficult job that they had to do, and they had a lot of people giving them input and things like that on it. But we personally feel that frames, if done correctly, can be an extremely beneficial to a blind person, especially because information can be grouped within those frames. I think the problem and why a lot of people are scared of frames is that so many people use them incorrectly. And if they're used incorrectly, then they're a pain, they're a hassle, they're no fun. But if you do them right, they can be extremely helpful in getting and navigating around that web page. The same with tables. I mean, again, we see tables mainly used for formatting purposes, and that's frustrating. It's false information. It's not really a table. You need to ignore it, type of thing. But if the tables are used for real information, it's a very impressive way to get and represent that information, and it's very accessible. So, with our web pages, we use frames, we use tables, we use them correctly, and that comes through when you go to our web page and try to read it. It's very, very accessible. We also throw Flash up on our web page. It's not used for anything probably other than what people would call marketing hype, but it's up there and it's accessible if you really want to see it and work with it and that type of thing. So we want to be able to use the technology that WindowWise supports. We don't want to back off and have just a very bare-bones, basic, text-only web page up there, because that's not the real world. We want to do what real-world web pages are out there doing.
Yeah, it must be very confusing for web developers who are getting so many conflicting messages about what to actually do.
Yes, and we're seeing that as a lot of these companies, especially as they make their applications web-enabled, and they're all web-based applications, and we're seeing a lot of those people coming to us, and they're very confused on how to make things accessible. We might tell them one thing, they'll go to another screen reader manufacturer, they'll tell them another thing, and so it is frustrating and difficult. So maybe the W3C stuff in that respect will help so that we can at least all conform to that spec. And within WindowWise itself, right now we are not fully W3C compliant, but that's one of the things that we plan on doing. One of the issues we had with that is why we didn't want to do it right up front is a lot of the web pages are not W3C compliant themselves. So when we become W3C compliant, those pages may have problems now, where today they speak, but with that, they may not. So we don't want to just jump in and say we're W3C compliant and turn our back to the existing web pages. We want to make sure that we not only are W3C compliant, but we also still support the web pages today that they themselves aren't W3C compliant. So that's part of the reason why we just don't automatically jump on the bandwagon so our marketing department can have a heyday with we're W3C compliant or whatever it may be. We need to make sure we do it right and don't just break everything out in the process.
Okay, so people who have 4.2 can upgrade to 4.21 at no cost via the website. Is that how it works?
That's correct. Actually, anyone with 4.1 or 4.11 or 4.2 can download the upgrade for free and go that, because actually we've had three free upgrades in a row. Now, of course, if you have the professional version and you're under Windows 2000 or XP, you don't have anything less than 4.2 because that was the first version supported for those operating systems. But if you're under 9X, you could have 4.1, 4.1.1. Download the 4.2 free of charge, put it on, and you're all set. If you wanted the CD, I believe there's a $20 charge plus shipping if you wanted a full new install of 4.2.1.
Well, I hope all of you at GW Micro have a happy holiday season and stay away from the computers for a wee while to recharge the batteries.
We'll try, and I wish you the same. Thank you very much.